Now I'm really excited about the main event for the evening. We're really excited to have some of the movers and shakers and decision makers from Winnipeg and Manitoba here with us today. And we're going to ask the panel of them what they're doing and what they're going to do to make Winnipeg a better, safer city for commuter cyclists. This portion of the evening is going to be broadcast live on CKUW, so if anybody has anyone at home, you can phone them and tell them to turn on the radio. And now I'd like to turn the microphone over to our moderator, Bart Lee Kivas.
Hello, how are you?
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Are we live right now, or are we live in 5 minutes?
We're live as soon as you start talking.
All right. Hi, I'm Bart Kivas. I normally cover City Hall for the Winnipeg Free Press, but as you can see, I'm on strike right now. So if you want to go get your local news, you can go to freepressonstrike.com. Not to give myself another plug, but that was freepressonstrike.com. All right, thanks very much. We're very pleased to have some people who are very busy with us tonight, busier than me. I just walked up and down on a picket line for 4 hours. That wasn't very busy. We have with us, they're pulling up on their chairs, from, I should say left to right, but I'm staring at them. On your left, Staff Sergeant Mark, and is it Hodgson or Hodson?
Either way.
Staff Sergeant Mark Hodson of the Winnipeg Police Service. Actually, to his left, we have Marilyn McLaren. Nope. Yes. Thank you. Marilyn McLaren, CEO of Manitoba Public Insurance. To your left of the Staff Sergeant, we have St. Norbert Councillor Justin Swandell. And from the provincial government, we have Kerry Irvin Ross, the Minister of Healthy Living. Now, the format for this panel is basically Bike to the Future has already solicited, asked you people for questions. I have some of them here, and I've distilled them. If we get through all of these questions in an hour, and we probably won't, we're going to take some from the floor. But right now, these are your questions. We're going to start with some questions for everybody here that's up here. And I'm going to start really easily. First of all, Ms. McLaren, do you ride your bike to work?
Not every day, but yes, quite often.
Quite often. How often would you define as quite often?
I consider myself lucky if I get a few days in March. Usually I start in April, and if I'm lucky, I get a few days in November, and usually 3 to 5 days a week.
And why don't you ride more?
Sorry?
Why do you not ride more?
Well, it's a fairly long ride, and often I'm doing things like this in the evening without going home after the regular day job, and I'm not going to ride 20 kilometers once I leave here tonight. So that's usually other things get in the way sometimes.
Multiple stops. Got it. Staff Sergeant Hodgson, do you ride your bike to work?
Not on a regular basis.
Why not?
Unfortunately, I have a very active family that requires me to take a car downtown because, again, I have multiple stops. It also depends on the job. When I was working at the communications center out at Assiniboine Park, I did commute to work. But working downtown, and because I have an active 15-year-old who requires to get around to events all over the city right after work, I have to take a car with me.
All right. I hope I don't sound too much like a school marm here. I apologize. This is the first question coming out. Councillor Swandell, do you ride your bike to work?
I got to tell you, I was going to boycott this event out of respect for the strikers at the Free Press, but I see you made it out. No, actually, I don't. I have ridden it on bike to work day. The reason why is I live in St. Norbert, and to get to work, I'd have to go down Pembina Highway. And if anybody's tried to ride a bike on Pembina Highway, you can appreciate why I don't ride a bike to work.
You're going to love the Pembina question later. Minister Irvin Ross, do you ride your bike to work?
No, I don't, but Rob does sometimes. Rob Altmaier.
Okay, Rob, you live in Wolseley, do you not?
I do.
Why don't you walk to work?
Thank you very much.
For those of you listening at CKUW 95.9, this is Rob Altmaier, who is the MLA for Wolseley. All right. Why don't you ride your bike to work, pardon me, more often, Minister?
I'm going to be extremely honest because I'm fearful. I'm a farm girl. And I'm used to no traffic and cycling. And like Justin said, driving down Pembina Highway is very frightening. So, but I've made a commitment to work with Howard, and Howard's going to get me through the CanBike program in the spring. And I will make a commitment to ride my bike then.
I promise this was the least, or this is the least embarrassing or most embarrassing question of the entire panel. There's a question from a member here. Dear panel, I've become a commuter cyclist this past summer, inspired in part by Bike to Work Day. I believe Mayor Sam Cates was here slightly earlier. I am acutely aware of how this practice will benefit me from a health and economic perspective, not to mention the positive impact on our environment. Councillor Swandell, what will your city do to make cycling in Winnipeg safer for me and to encourage my fellow citizens that this is a viable alternative to always using their cars?
Well, I think we continue to do what we are doing, is looking at new options that are brought forward. We've got a great deal of publicity on active transportation in the last few years as we've done some major projects and we've been able to advertise them. But prior to that, we were already doing a lot of things. Whenever we were doing new bridges and even some of our new streets projects, you'll notice that along Waverly, there's a section of Waverly that's got a large bicycle path beside it. It was just incorporated as part of a road project that was done, I think, around the year 2000. You see what we're doing with the Disraeli Freeway and the bridge option there that we brought forward. So to continue to do those things and to continue to engage with the cycling community. You know, for a guy like me who spent his whole life in a car, I'm not the expert on cycling. I think the people in front of us today are the experts on cycling. And some of the organizations that have come, whether it's Bike to the Future or Winnipeg Trails Association, that's the people you have to listen to in making decisions, the correct decisions, to ensure that you can cycle better in the city of Winnipeg.
And just for the people listening on the radio, we have a room here at the Bowman Center at the University of Winnipeg full of people here to attend a Bike to the Future conference. Ms. McLaren, what will MPI do to make cycling Winnipeg safer and to encourage people that it's a viable alternative to using cars?
In the spirit of being completely honest, I'm not sure. I think that's something that we need to do some work on. Clearly, our job at Manitoba Public Insurance is to insure vehicles, insure drivers. That is our main priority. Clearly, we have a vested interest in minimizing cyclist vehicle crashes, but it certainly is a long way from our main priority with respect to insuring vehicles. We do a lot of things right now in terms of providing and funding cycling education for kids. I think there are more things that we can do. If we, I was actually just looking at the information about the survey about your organization, Bike to the Future, believes there's been a significant increase in the number of cyclists on the road. And as much as we might like for a day when there is separate access, separate roadways and pathways for cyclists, we know that that's not going to be in our lifetime. So I think clearly if more people are riding bikes, there's more opportunity for bad interaction, conflict between cyclists, motorcyclists, motorists and cyclists. So I think there is a role for us. But you know every bit as well as I do that Manitobans are very, very cautious and conscious, and they pay a lot of attention to how Manitoba Public Insurance spends their money. So I think there's some things we can do. I'm not sure what most Manitobans would consider to be an appropriate role for us to play, and I think we can really learn from each other, and I think we can figure this out. But right now, we don't have all the answers.
Big cash donations. No, I was just kidding.
Send back the rebate checks and we'll put it towards cycling.
Sorry, I took a silly joke there. Minister, what would the province do to, what will the province do to make cycling Winnipeg safer and to encourage people that it's a viable alternative to cars?
I know that the province has made cycling a priority, and you can see that with the infrastructure money that we've provided and the partnerships we've developed with the City of Winnipeg. And I know that the trails people and the cycling enthusiasts have educated me on the importance of connectivity and making sure that our trails are connected. And I think that's a direction that we'll work with our partners and we will do. Of course, education and encouragement and talking about the importance to your health and your environment, as the author of the question wrote, I think that's very important. Looking at specific legislation around the Highway Traffic Act and ensuring that we can make it as safe as possible. And working, I think one of the pieces that we do at the province of Manitoba and the departments that are working together is getting out of our silos and sitting around the table not as interdepartmentally but also with community groups and evaluating what's happening, what's working, what's not working, and what are the next steps we have to take. So we've made that commitment and we will continue to work with all partners as we go forward, ensuring that, that cycling is a viable option for everyone that chooses that method.
Okay, Staff Sergeant Hudson, what can the City of Winnipeg do, or what will the City of Winnipeg do to make cycling Winnipeg safer and to encourage people that it's a viable alternative to cars?
Well, I can only speak for the City of Winnipeg Police Service. I wouldn't try to speak for the City of Winnipeg. I'd leave that up to the elected politicians. I think as a law enforcement agency, we have several priorities, and one of them being education, the other one being enforcement of the law, and the other one is being good stewards on the road. And part of that is using what we call evidence-led policing. And what that is looking at the statistics in regards to collisions and trying to analyze those to determine where the actual problems are and use the tools that we have to deal with those problems. Realistically, the only two tools we have are education and enforcement. People always ask, and I know people always say anecdotally that there's not enough enforcement out there. Bikes are becoming more and more prevalent on our roadways, but actually right now they make up about 0.7% of the collisions that we investigate. And we try and put that amount of enforcement and that amount of education out there. We've created a bicycle unit that's more accessible, that's able to deal with a lot more of the issues regarding bicyclists. So thinking about those three components, we've tried to go forward, as I've indicated, with an evidence-led approach to it, and we're in a learning stage right now, too, but we're attempting to help out the public that way.
Thank you. Sorry, and I apologize. I meant to say Winnipeg Police Service, not the City of Winnipeg. I apologize. Okay. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. You're listening to the Bike to the Future panel, Why Not Winnipeg? I'm Bartley Kivas with FreePressOnStrike.com. Normally with the Free Press. One more question from a reader, from a Bike to the Future member. Cyclists are expected to behave as vehicles on the road and follow the Highway Traffic Act, but there is no training provided or available for this. How can we expect cyclists to obey the rules if they don't know the rules? What role can your organization play in providing training on the Highway Traffic Act to cyclists? And since you just mentioned education, Staff Sergeant, I'm going to bring this right back to you.
As I indicated, we have a bike unit, and part of their mandate is to do education, and they do spend quite a bit of time dealing with bicyclists and explaining to them the rules of the road. We also have a community services unit that does provide safety seminars for individuals through the schools.
Yeah. Councillor Swandell, what role can your organization play in providing training on the Highway Traffic Act?
Well, you know, public communication. You know, if you look at some of the videos we saw earlier on, they all included some sort of a campaign, a public campaign, to bring those new ideas to the public. It's certainly some of the City of Winnipeg can be involved and be involved with through the police service and just through basic straight-up communications. As you roll out new ideas, we always try to bring them to the public with some form of communication and education.
And forgive me, if I don't mean to pick on you, but just because I know this area a tiny bit, what budget, where would it come out, the education? Would that come from community services? Would that be from the police service? Where would that pot of money come from with the city?
Well, ultimately, it comes from the general revenue fund. We'd have to allocate the money. It could be done from one specific department, or it could be done across departments. If it required police involvement, some of it would be in the police budget. Some of it may be public works, as some of the, you know, as active transportation lies in public works right now. So it would probably cross a number of budgets.
All right. Minister, what role would the province play in providing training? Party, I keep having to remember there are people listening in the room. Minister Kerry Irvin-Ross, what role would the province play in providing training on the Highway Traffic Act to cyclists?
Well, we have in the past, and we will continue to provide public service announcements and educational opportunities. We also have cycling workshops that we provide. I think a good concrete example of what we've done is around the distribution of the low-cost bike helmets. There was 44,000 bike helmets that were distributed across the province of Manitoba. And along with that, with Healthy Schools initiatives, we got the word out about the importance of cycling safe and getting information out. But we also need to ensure, as we've heard and we've seen in the news, that we need to ensure that we are also talking to motor vehicle drivers about the importance of their improving their awareness about cyclists and the right of the cyclists to be on the road.
And Marilyn McLaren of Manitoba Public Insurance. What can MPI do to provide training on the Highway Traffic Act to cyclists?
I think we've started to explore that a little bit. Manitoba Public Insurance, our road safety staff, with Bike to the Future. I think there's some things that we can do with respect to supporting the education of trainers in the Can Bike program. I think there are probably a number of people who would be willing to come out and participate in an adult cycling education seminar of some sort. It was really interesting to see the films earlier. I was in San Francisco area a couple of months ago, and it's absolutely, as the film showed, it's part of their culture, it's part of what they do. There was, I cycled through this park on a Sunday morning, and there was about three or four people, like for-profit adult cycling trainers, like we have high school driver ed everywhere, you know, for kids learning how to drive cars. They have people teaching adults how to cycle and how to get through traffic and how to maneuver. So I think there's a role that we can facilitate and foster and construct that. I think our primary role to this point has not been so much in educating cyclists per se as it has been in the share the road message to motorists. The 60-second driver, we have two spots that focus directly to motorists, encouraging them to share the road. It's part of the high school driver ed program, teaching young new drivers to share the road. So I think there's a lot we have done. There may be some more opportunities.
And forgive me, Minister Irvin Ross, I didn't ask you the question I asked Councillor Swandell. If there was to be more education, what pot of money would that come out of? Which ministry?
Well, I think we have been working through different departments. So there's money that comes through health and healthy living. There's money that comes from the Manitoba Infrastructure and Transportation. We take this, we see this as a collective as we're working with our government department. So there's not exactly one specific pot, but if there's a role and a need, we sit down together and come up with a solution how to fund it.
Please, go ahead, Councillor Swandell.
Can I just add, Bart, I think just listening to the people speak here, one of the things that's obvious is that we can't just be thinking about education and communication in our own silos, whether it's the City of Winnipeg, the City of Winnipeg Police Department, provincial government, MPIC. I think if we came together, we could probably put together a pretty good strategy on education in any particular area that involves cycling. So, you know, just rather than staying in our silos, I think we need to sort of get together and come up with a comprehensive strategy when we're dealing with
that's why the four of you are here today, to announce the formation of no.
There's a moratorium on committees.
Okay.
There's a moratorium on committees. But there obviously has to be some cross-communication in order for us to effectively communicate.
All right.
I'd like to have a forum on no more committees.
I'll join that committee. As soon as I'm, never mind. Okay, this ends the round robin portion of the questions that are aimed at all of you from Bike to the Future members. So again, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm Bartley Kivas. What we have here is a question. I'm going to come right back to Pembina Highway because I'm glad you brought it up. I think a lot of people, how many people are here in this audience right now? Scream, don't raise your hand because no one on the radio can see your hands. How many people ride down Pembina Highway or parallel to that as part of their commute every day? Thank you for those of you who raised their hands anyway. Love that. All right, Councillor Swandell, here's a question from a reader, first-time caller, but we don't have these callers on right now. If we rely on the rapid transit project, and that is, just in case, the city and the province have announced a $138 million first phase of a 3.6-kilometer bus rapid transit project that extends from Queen Elizabeth Way to Jubilee Avenue. There's a bridge, there's a tunnel, makes it sound like New York. Anyway, if we rely on the rapid transit project to go all the way down to Bison to improve cycling down Pembina Highway, we're not going to be able to ride from downtown to the University of Manitoba on a segregated path until 2015 in a worst-case scenario. What does the city plan to do to improve the situation on Pembina before Phase 2 of the BRT corridor is completed, whenever it's completed?
You know, we're talking about diamond lanes for part of it. There's no easy solution. I mean, you look at the width of sidewalks on Pembina, they're very inviting to put bicycles on them. But, you can do something perhaps during the days where you allow cycling at rush hour on one side for morning rush hour and on the other side on the sidewalks for the other rush hour, so you're not conflicting with pedestrians as much as possible. But There is no easy solution. You can do something with the trails that run along the river. Many of those cross private property. It's very difficult to deal with private property issues. And for the city to go in and start doing any kind of trails development along there, when you get close to the riverbank, you run into a whole bunch of riverbank protection issues where it becomes hugely expensive to actually build the infrastructure in order to stabilize the riverbank. The Le Tellier subdivision, the railroad line that runs along parallel to Pembina Highway, is probably our greatest opportunity to do something, and that will happen with the eventual development of the rapid transit corridor. But in the meantime, we're looking at it, a number of options. The diamond lanes are one that will create the opportunity for cyclists that will make it somewhat safer. Some of the stuff we saw today on the videos, I was sitting next to our director of public works, and he was intrigued by some of those. So some of that, those types of options may come to fruition this year. But there's no one simple solution.
Director of Works, Public Works, Director Bill Larkin's here in the room right now?
Yes, he is.
Okay, fantastic. These sidewalks that you sometimes see in Denmark and other places, is it possible to use sidewalks for some of this, to devote part of the sidewalk?
Well, how do you do it? How do you do it safely? And how do you deal with the pedestrians that use those sidewalks every morning? Rush hour is the worst time. You know, it's when everybody who's on their bicycles, they want to get to work, and everybody's a pedestrian that want to use the transit system as another environmentally friendly way of getting to work. They want to be on the sidewalks. And, you know, in my short political career, I've had a number of complaints of elderly people on Pembina Highway, you know, complaining about cyclists on the sidewalks. You know, me personally, when I rode my bike to work on Bike to Work Day, I rode on the sidewalk. I wasn't going to take my life in my hands on Pembina Highway. So if there's a way to do it safely, hopefully we'll be able to find that quickly. Designate an area of the sidewalk, perhaps. Designate a time, perhaps. I don't have the answer.
Okay. Well, along the same line, here's a question for Staff Sergeant Mark Hodgson of the Winnipeg Police Service. This is from a reader. Many people who ride are able to choose quieter residential routes except at choke points. And by choke points, this person means bridges or underpasses where they feel forced into a bottleneck with lots of cars. Some people feel compelled to use the sidewalks in these cases, and therefore there's a huge increase in sidewalk riding at bridges and underpasses. A number of riders have received tickets for sidewalk riding on or near bridges. What could the police service do to use discretion in enforcing the law at bridges and underpasses?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that question. The Highway Traffic Act has a section that covers when a person can actually go on the sidewalk and when a person can't. It basically says no person shall operate on a sidewalk a bicycle with a rear wheel of a diameter that exceeds 410 millimeters. Police officers are given discretion under the Highway Traffic Act, but again, the Highway Traffic Act compels us to do enforcement in certain situations. The question, I think, what you're really asking is who has priority on sidewalks? Is it bicyclists or pedestrians? And the Highway Traffic Act clearly indicates that it's pedestrians. So as far as discretion goes, police officers exercise it every day. But when it comes to safety, we have to err on the side of pedestrians.
So basically, you need legislative change before you could interpret that differently.
Well, I think we would rather have it left up to the politicians to make decisions of that nature, but I think if a bicyclist is asking when police use discretion, it's when it's, you know, in a fashion where it's not going to affect the way people behave on the roadways. People always ask us, when is it safe to ride on a sidewalk? Well, you know, I can't answer that, but if you're going to interfere with a pedestrian, and the Highway Traffic Act clearly says not to ride on the sidewalk, if you're going to ride on the sidewalk, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to be aware of the fact that you're taking a chance that there may be enforcement action taken. So if you're asking when will police take discretion, I can't answer that question. I can simply tell you that there is discretion within the Highway Traffic Act, and if a police officer feels that you're not endangering anybody in your actions, there's potential that he could warn you and ask you to move back onto the roadway, or he's going to take enforcement action depending on the circumstance.
Now, that leads right into you as a representative of the province, Ms. Irvin Ross. Have you ever thought of changing, clarifying, fine-tuning, tweaking, otherwise altering the Highway Traffic Act to at least give direction to law enforcement officers, both the Winnipeg Police Service and other law enforcement officers?
We have a committee.
You've done panels before, haven't you?
That's reviewing this legislation.
And we do. I'm not teasing, really. We do. We do have a group of individuals that are through health and MIT that are sitting down and reviewing it and working with the community stakeholders. And how can we look at our legislation to ensure two things, that we are protecting cyclists and making the roads and sidewalks safe for everybody. So we're constantly reviewing legislation, the legislation, existing legislation, and as well as pieces of legislation that could be introduced in the future.
When will that happen?
There is no timeline of this committee. We will continue to review. I can't make a commitment today about when that's going to be happening. It's an ongoing piece of work that happens all the time.
So if I said pick a year, 2009, 2010?
No, I wouldn't do that for you. I wouldn't pick a year.
Okay.
Do
you want to call a friend?
No, no, no.
I'm being rude. I apologize.
You know, legislative changes don't, there's a process which has to happen, and I think it has to happen with consultation with all of our partners. So I think that's what's really important. They don't happen lightly. It needs to be reviewed and evaluated and needs to be more committee work.
Yeah, I apologize. That was the actual next question. When? And there's a little underline underneath the when here, so I guess... okay, I'm gonna let politicians off the hook for a second here. Well, actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to flip back here. Here's another question here for Councillor Swandell. Excuse me, here's another question for Councillor Swandell. I forgot I'm on the radio. You are listening or attempting to listen to CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm Bartley Kivas, normally with the Winnipeg Free Press covering City Hall, but now an admin at freepressonstrike.com. Go there today until we're back at work and you won't be able to see the webpage anymore. Yes. Councillor Swandell, the city of Minneapolis has a 50-50 cost-share program where businesses or residential building owners interested in bicycle racks pay 50% of the cost of the rack and installation, while the city pays the other 50%. Why not Winnipeg?
Actually, I'm trying to think. We did start a conversation around incentives for businesses to incorporate bicycle-friendly components into new buildings and new development. I don't think it's why not Winnipeg. I think it's probably where is Winnipeg and what incentives do we put in place. I know that some of it is actually legislated, that now we ask for a specific amount of bicycle parking spots in the zoning bylaw. I don't recall exactly the other pieces that we put in there, but there are a number of concepts entrenched in the new zoning bylaw that speak to more bicycle-friendly development when people make application for new developments.
Okay. And I don't want to leave you out, Ms. McLaren, here at MTI. MPI, I don't know what MTI is. I'm sure it's something very good, though. Marilyn McLaren, current driver training is supposed to include cycling awareness so that new drivers are aware of their responsibilities as drivers and those of the cyclists with whom they will interact. The member asks, there is very little in the driver handbook, and based on my daughter's driver training, there was nothing provided in the on-road practice. As for the testing, my daughter cannot remember anything on the test either. In your view, is the current level of bicycle awareness training adequate, and are driver trainers adequately prepared to deliver this training?
I believe the curriculum is adequate. We have reviewed and revised the high school driver ed curriculum just within the last couple of years. Whether it is consistently taught in, you know, several hundred high schools across the province with many people involved is something that we can never be 100% sure of. We have done a fairly significant expansion of that aspect of it, though, and it's all about the variety of road users. You know, there's the same kind of issue that, similar issue that cyclists face. Also, there's a history, I think, with respect to motorcyclists not being as visible to motor vehicles as the motor vehicle operators should be as aware of them. So we've really focused a lot of that to enhance it, and I think, you know, hearing that comment, I can go back to the office again and have another look at the curriculum and see if there's anything else we can do to really focus on that. But I think it really is a very important area because I think young drivers are more likely. I think part of the issue that we have here in Winnipeg is that many, many, many motorists can never really visualize themselves as out there on a bike tomorrow or the next day or the next week. You know, I think there's a separation between those who ride and those who don't that makes it really difficult for us to connect with motorists. I think young people are more likely to use both modes of transportation. They'd love to get their license and learn and be able to use the car, but they also use bikes a lot. So I think it's an audience that's primed for the message. I think we have to do the best job we can to make sure that they get the message.
Okay. Now, so what do we say to this person? About their comment from their daughter that this person's daughter can't remember anything on the test. So either the daughter, they have a lousy memory or...
Well, I think practical road tests qualify as one of the most stressful things that you'll do as a teenager in most of our lives. I don't think most of us remember very much about what we actually did on that test. But I think if you think about the circumstances, right? I mean, there's not going to be anything on the test unless... through the structured route, they actually encounter someone on a bicycle or pedestrians that they have to pay attention to. So the fact that she can't remember it doesn't mean that it's not something that would be graded if it was encountered.
Okay. So Marilyn McLaren, CEO of MPI, this is completely off topic, but I kind of want to know this. Did you pass the parallel parking when you got your driver testing?
I did.
All right. I didn't, not the first time. All right. I have another question here from a reader, but it's a Bike to the Future member. Again, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, a panel put together by the organization Bike to the Future called Why Not Winnipeg? And why not Winnipeg? Why are there not more bicycle routes? Actually, Councillor Swindell earlier mentioned trails. And to this group of people, the word trail, the word route, these are politically charged terms. We're basically talking about commuter routes, things that allow people on bicycles to get from point A to point B, not necessarily around point A and point B and see something pretty along the way, but from point A to point B in such a manner as you get covered in the least amount of road goo. Am I right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit that myself, I actually walk to work mostly because I only live 2.4 kilometers from work. According to the City of Winnipeg's Active Transportation Study commissioned a few years ago, the average person in Winnipeg actually went 11.5 kilometers to work or school, which would indicate most people are walking. They're probably driving. At the time, not many of them were riding their bikes. Not many being a relative term. Who knows? Maybe now with the price of gas, we're all riding our unicycles. Another question here from R. Hodgson, the staff sergeant with the Winnipeg Police Service. And I'm sorry, I'm rude. Which department do you work for?
I'm the unit commander for Central Traffic.
Unit commander for Central Traffic. Is that the entire traffic unit? Forgive my ignorance.
Central Traffic is a unit, but what we do is we do accident investigation. I think what most people are interested in is actually who does the enforcement, and the enforcement is done by individual general patrol divisions.
Okay, so these people could be racing from a fire scene at one point and then going there, or not really, no. They have all sorts of jobs.
Fire department goes to fire.
Well, I know, but sometimes you gotta... Thank you. Beautiful. Crime scene, fires. You know, you have to make sure people don't cross that line, you know, in pesky reporters, usually. All right, there's another question here for you. Would the police service support the idea of offering cycling education in lieu of a ticket? We talked earlier about, you know, the discretion. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, I realize you'd need legislative direction here, from politicians. But, you know, what do you think? Would the average patrol officer think of the idea of offering cyclists education instead of a ticket?
I'm a few years out of patrol, but from what I remember when I was, and when I was in traffic, to be honest with you, we didn't pay a lot of attention to bicyclists. And as time has gone on and I've come into an administrative position, we realized, and I think everybody here, especially members of our bicycle unit, we are a lot more cognizant of individuals on bikes. And as a bicyclist and someone who does ride on a regular basis, I think most police officers look at bicyclists as vulnerable road users, just like we look at other people that might not have the benefit of sitting inside a steel cage and have four wheels underneath of them. We look at those individuals as vulnerable, and we try and deal with them in that fashion. That doesn't preclude peace officers or police officers from dealing with individuals that ride recklessly, individuals that take liberties with some of the laws. You mentioned bridges, etc. I don't know too many police officers would actually sit on a bridge for long periods of times picking off people at rush hours. On occasion, we have to when you come in conflict with pedestrians. But on the priority scale, again, as I indicated before, we do enforcement as necessary or when it's driven by complaints. Bicycle enforcement is one of those things that's really, really not really high on the priority list, I'll be honest with you. As I indicated, bicyclists are involved in a very minor portion of collisions, I said about 0.7%. Before I came here tonight, I actually had one of our analysts run to see how many actually cycling tickets we gave out. And actually, of all the tickets we gave out over the year, it actually works out to 0.7%, so it's probably proportional enforcement. So if you're asking about discretion, we are incident-driven, we are complaint-driven, but do we give discretion or do we give a wide berth to motorists? To bicyclists? We probably do in general.
What does that percentage, do you know what number of tickets that works out to? Is that statistic there?
Well, I mean, bicyclists, it's a little bit deceiving. Bicyclists are generally only on the roads between maybe April till about August. But if you're looking at just bicyclists that are riding on sidewalks and infractions under what's called Section 145, which covers bicyclists riding on sidewalks, we gave out about 119 of those in that period between May and August.
To the two politicians here, what do you think of the idea of offering education in lieu of a ticket in either whatever legislative means at your disposal?
I certainly think it's an option that should be there. If you get a ticket, you want to go plead guilty with an explanation. I think if there's the opportunity there for a judge to give you the option of going to education as opposed to paying a fine or doing something else, I think everybody would welcome that.
So you'd write a bylaw that would allow a judge to make to create more lenience or to lean toward more lenience?
The laws that are enforced by the police department on the roads are under the Highway Traffic Act. We don't write the laws that the police enforce.
They're all right, Councillor Swandell, then I'm going to shift that right over to you.
I felt that ball coming this way.
I think the table's tilting.
You know what? Enforcement is important, but I think education is number one. And why aren't we educating people before there's enforcement needs? I think that has to be our priority, that we continue to get the message across to people, keep talking to people. What does the Highway Traffic Act mean? Encouraging people to participate in skills workshops and ensuring that they have their safety. So let's work on the carrot approach, not the stick approach.
And I think too, you know, we all have obligations, you know, regardless of whether or not we are sympathetic to particular issues. If six old ladies phone because bicycles are running into them on Pembina Highway on the sidewalk, I have an obligation to report it to the police department, and the police department has an obligation to enforce the Highway Traffic Act that's brought about by the province. So nobody's out there deliberately trying to harm or bring a negative situation to cyclists, you know. The enforcement happens when there's an identified need for enforcement to happen. And I think, you know, what Kerry said is very true, that the more we can do in the front end to prevent the need for enforcement, the better off we'll all be.
I think it needs to be said, I think that, and perhaps I'm being presumptuous here, I think most people feel that all organizations, province, city, police service, MPI, are more interested in paying more attention to cyclists in general right now. Everyone feels that, right? Okay. I was hoping for a little bit more reassurance. These nice people have come down here today. You're listening to CQUW 95.9 FM, a Bike to the Future panel, Why Not Winnipeg. I'm Bartley Kivas, normally with the Free Press, right now with Free Press on strike.com. We've got about 15 more minutes here. This is another question here for Kerry Irvin-Roth, the Minister of Healthy Living. Does Manitoba Infrastructure and Transportation plan to produce a map of the province that shows which highways have paved shoulders to allow bike tours and safer travel between different communities? Is this on the agenda?
I'm not sure if it's on the agenda, but it's a great idea, so I'll take it back.
Who are you going to take it to?
I'll take it to the minister, Ron Lemieux.
Okay, and where does Ron doesn't ride in from?
No.
Nah. Now, what is that? Which highway is that? Forgive me, I don't recall. Is he down in Eldershane or? I don't know.
Lives in Lorette.
Lorette, thank you. All right. So, yeah,
no shoulders on that highway.
There's no shoulders on that highway. So, basically, the first highway in Manitoba. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how it works. All right. Councillor Swandell, there's another question for you. It's really, really long. We seem to continue to have roadways, says a Bike to the Future member. We seem to continue to have roadways built and renovated with no provision for bicycle lanes or paths. For example, Grant between Stafford and Pembina. Winnipeg has recently adopted a policy of stating that active transportation facilities will be incorporated into any reconstruction or rehabilitation required on any infrastructure identified as an active transportation facility in the proposed active transportation network. Why, asked this person, was this policy limited to infrastructure identified on the AT network, just on the AT network?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think what he's referring to on Grant between Stafford and Pembina Highway, I don't think it was a rehab. I think it was just an overlay. it depends on the scope of work that's being done. We've seized many opportunities to add active transportation pieces on roadways. You look at Sterling Lyon Parkway. When we put that in, there was a beautiful trail that was put alongside of that. You'll see a major piece of work, the twinning of McGilvery Boulevard, section of McGilvery Boulevard being done this year that will include an active transportation corridor, designated corridor along there. The Disraeli Bridge is a great example of where we ended up. We kind of lucked into a completely separate piece of infrastructure, but we've been doing it for years and years. You know, the University Drive. Our University Crescent out to the University of Manitoba, we made it a little bit wider when we were doing a complete rehab on it and added a strip of paved shoulder or you know widened asphalt on the side. So we continue to seize the opportunity to add the active transportation infrastructure where we can.
Councillor Swandell, do you feel safe on a Sherrow?
No. I don't think it's the best way to move cyclists around. I think you know, some of the stuff we saw here, like the bike boulevards, when I first saw the idea of closing residential streets or making residential streets accessible for cyclists, I thought that we were actually going to eliminate cars from them and they would just be there for cyclists. And that gets a little bit scary because you're pushing that traffic onto somebody else's residential street and you're going to get into this whole community fight stuff. But there are other options besides Sherrill's. And I think the bike boulevards we saw this evening is a very interesting concept. I think we have some of it coming in the city of Winnipeg. Assiniboine Drive in parallel to Broadway, I think we're going to see coming in the not-too-distant future. There are better options. There are better options than Sherrill's. The more that you can separate the bicycle from the car, the better off you are. Do the Sherrill's help? Yes, they help. Do I feel comfortable on them? No.
Show of not hands, show of auditory hands. How many people here who ride feel safe on a Sherrill? Okay, you're listening to CKW 95.9 FM. That sound of silence there was the sound of Bike to the Future panelists and saying they are not that crazy about Sherrills. Sherrills being shared bicycle and vehicle lanes. I don't want to leave you out, Mary McLaren of Manitoba Public Insurance. We talked earlier about the tests for drivers. What about MPI? MPI ever think about offering training updates after original driver licensing? Training updates for drivers to learn about cycling safety or awareness of cyclists and other developments like diamond lanes and, well, Sherrills.
With respect to a more general driver skill upgrading and education, we support that sort of education through Safety Services Manitoba, used to be known as Manitoba Safety Council. There are sort of advanced driver training programs available for people out there. I think there's always more that we can do in terms of helping to educate motorists. But as I said earlier, we need to decide with input from the community, clearly with input from the community, what is an appropriate role for Manitoba Public Insurance to play? Because we are primarily vehicle and driver insurers. That's what our legislated mandate is to do. We have a significant responsibility in this province to improve road safety. Concept being primarily, though, that is within the context of motor vehicles. And I know where most of your interest is. You're not wanting training so that you don't fall over. You want training to deal with the interaction between vehicles and bicycles. We do understand that. But there's no limit. Conceptually, there's no limit to what you could spend money on in this area. What's the appropriate role for Manitoba Public Insurance? And we're very anxious to get some input from you. We hope that goes well tonight, and we hope we get some ideas. One of the things, you know, I was just thinking of, I heard a little bit about through the summer, and I'm wondering if anyone, perhaps the minister or WPS knows more about it. I saw it was a commercial on TV about catching cyclists doing things right and giving them Canadian Tire money. Yeah. The Winnipeg Police Service, in conjunction with the province, we're running a pilot. I think that sounds hugely promising. I can see something like that in the downtown area potentially happening with, you know, the police cyclists doing that with both motorists and cyclists potentially. I'm curious about how that works. We've done something like that with the WPS and the RCMP through time in terms of catching people wearing their seatbelts. You know, so there are models out there that really does help to encourage people, to educate people, to reward people. That always, always has to be where you start. When that fails a long way down the road, maybe you start having more, you know, serious kinds of enforcement for both sides of the equation. But I think there's a lot we can do. There's a lot that we can encourage and educate. But it does take a partnership. But I think one of the things that will really be important for us to figure out is how to really connect with motorists, how to really make motorists truly believe in their responsibility to share the road.
Just very briefly, I wanted to make sure that the question was fair. How many times do motorists have to come back for training after
have
initial?
To, they do not have to. There is no legislated requirement to come back for retesting.
Unless they're really, really bad and they lose their license and they have to get it back.
Right, but in most of those cases, they lose their license for protracted periods of time for the really bad ones, but they get them back.
Well, we have about five more minutes here on the Bike to the Future panel. Why not Winnipeg? You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm Bartley Kivas, normally with the Winnipeg Free Press, right now with freepressonstrike.com. Final question here for all of our panelists. And here's a question. It is a question from a Bike to the Future member. Cities in many parts of the world are making major commitments to infrastructure development for commuter cyclists. This includes winter cities similar in size to our city. Why not Winnipeg? Starting on the side of the table with the Minister, Irvin Ross, of the provincial government.
It's a good point. Why not Winnipeg? So we have a committee, and the committee is evaluating. I'm teasing. We do have a group of people that are working through different departments in government and with community stakeholders and reviewing about what is happening in other jurisdictions. We constantly are reviewing those best practices across and how do we implement them here in Winnipeg and in Manitoba. So why not Winnipeg? Let's work together and try and make it happen.
Councillor Swandell, why not Winnipeg?
I think Winnipeg is. I don't see why not as being the question. I think we are. I think you only have to look at the capital budget in the last couple of years, the growth that we made. You see a $15 million addition this year in what we're doing with the Disraeli Bridge. And, you know, the list goes on and on. We're engaged in conversations on a regular basis and planning to continue to make greater improvements. You know, there's a strategy out there that we're trying to implement. And actually to improve on the strategy that we have is not perfect. We need to improve on it. We'll continue to do that, and we will be one of the active transportation examples, leaders in North America, I'm sure.
City spends about, what is it, $3.2 million on AT right now. What's your ideal target for the budget?
Well, if you just take the items that are designated as AT, about $3.2 million. We spend a lot more money on amenities that you could classify in that. Some of the stuff that we do in extra widening of roads in projects that aren't included in AT specifically. It's the end that you want to see. You know, you can talk about the dollars all you want, but at the end of the day, it's what are you doing for cyclists? Where were they yesterday? Where are they today? And where will they be tomorrow? And I think we're on the right path to get to where we need to be. And we'll be sitting here in not too many years celebrating one of the most active transportation-friendly cities in the country.
Now, Staff Sergeant Hodgson, this is a bit of an odd question for the police service, but in terms of commitments to bike infrastructure, why not Winnipeg?
Well, I don't know what we can offer as far as infrastructure. I think there were some points that were brought up. They're actually, you know, quite timely. I was just in Ottawa, actually, on a traffic symposium, and in Europe there are major steps being taken in regards to some of the things you spoke of. There's certainly things that we would consider. The carrot and stick approach is something that we've always looked at. There generally is better compliance when you go in with a warning phase. the City of Toronto has done some very excellent work in regards to starting off their major campaigns with speeding bicyclists and pedestrians by doing a large public campaign in regards to what the consequences are and what the expectations are in regards to the law building up to that. And they also do, as Ms. McLaren has indicated, there are some rewards that reward programs that were put out there, and they're things that we always look at to try and improve our service to the citizens of Winnipeg.
And finally, Marilyn McLaren, I keep wanting to put your name into one word. You'd be like Sting or Prince. Marilyn McLaren, CEO of Manitoba Public Insurance. Why not Winnipeg?
Well, you know, I have to say that I feel very privileged to live in a province that has made such a major commitment to Kyoto targets. I think they've clearly said that cycling is a big part of that climate change strategy for the people of Manitoba. And I think it's amazing what the city's done. And while I don't feel any safer in a Sharrow than anyone else does, I think they're worth it. I think they're very valuable because it just keeps imprinting on the motorists' minds that we do belong out there. You know, so I think there's some really, really positive things happening. And let's see what greater role we might be able to play.
We have about 1 minute left here at the Bike to the Future panel. Why not Winnipeg on CKW 95.9 FM? Is there anything else anybody here wants to say about cycling, Winnipeg, infrastructure, routes in the future?
I thought you'd want to mention the www.winnipegfreepressonstrike.com website one more time.
Actually, thank you very much, Councillor Swandell. But I have to correct you. It was freepressonstrike.com. Is there anything else? In all seriousness, I appreciate that plug, but is there anything else that anybody wants to...
I think maybe it's a good note to end on, and I think it's important to remember and to remind this group that a lot of what we've done are because of the efforts of organizations like Bike to the Future and the other groups that have come forward and keep the pressure on the politicians. You know, we're not by any means, as I said earlier, experts on this. We learn as we go through this these processes. So as radical as some of the ideas sound when you first hear them, it actually does engage you and it makes you think and it gets us the type of progress that you've seen happen in the last couple of years in the city of Winnipeg. And I think, you know, you've got good voices at the province or good ears at the province, good ears at the city. And, you know, we're even seeing some stuff coming from the federal government. And I think we've got some good partners in the police service and at MPIC. So keep the noise up and we'll continue to do what we can to help.
Speaking of noise, let's have a big round of applause. Please.
Well said.
For Carrie Irvin-Ross, for the provincial government, Justin Swandell, Staff Sergeant Mark Hodson, and Marilyn McLaren of MPI. Thank you very much for listening to CKUW 95.9 FM's Bike to the Future panel. I'm Bartley Kivas, and hey, I want to go back to work too. Thanks very much.
I hear your name should be back to nice to find you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you too.